Thank you, Brother Richard. When these brethren went to the Lord in prayer before their preparation, the Lord must have directed the outcome. Brother Rick's title is Becoming Peter. Brother Rick.
Brethren, we consider it a real privilege to be here with you today to share a portion of the Lord's Word. Simon was not always Peter. There are a few characters in the Bible who stand out for their flaws and their strengths as well. The Apostle Peter is one such character. He is well remembered for his denial of Jesus, and he is also well remembered for his boldness and his confidence that Jesus displayed in him. Today we're going to look into the life of a man called Simon and trace some of the experiences and lessons he had to undergo to eventually become Peter, a firm foundation stone, Peter, a pillar of the true church, Peter, an apostle, Peter, a faithful follower of Jesus. We appreciated Brother Jerry's thoughts very much this morning, and I will admit that when he started, I was almost looking for another talk. But we'll find that many of the things that Brother Jerry mentioned are very, very, they fit in different parts of Peter's life. There's some overlap that I think that will be very, very appropriate. We're going to start looking at the life of Simon way back at the beginning, because it hadn't occurred to me until studying recently the subject of Simon that he was drawn by the Lord on three separate occasions. So we want to look at these three separate drawings of Simon to see how he begins on the journey to become Peter. The first drawing of Simon is the account found in John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. It's John 1, 35 to 42. It says, again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking unto Jesus, he walked and said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said to them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two which had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and said to him, We have found the Messiah, which being interpreted is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which by interpretation is a stone. It's interesting that Jesus did not formally call Peter to follow him at this point. Peter came of his own volition because his brother said to him, We have found the Messiah, come and see. And so Simon comes along, Jesus beholds him and says, You will be called Peter. This word behold is interesting and it's important. We're going to come back to it later on. The word behold is Strong's number 1689, and it means to look on, to observe fixedly, or to discern clearly. The same word is used earlier in the text where it says John the Baptist, it said, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, said, Behold, the Lamb of God. This is probably the first time that John the Baptist recognized Jesus as the Messiah. This is probably the first time. This is right after Jesus came back from fasting and praying for 40 days, very, very shortly after that. And John sees him, and I'm sure the Holy Spirit, because John was working with the aid of the Holy Spirit, helped him to understand that there is the Messiah, and he proclaims it. So the same way that John beholds Jesus walking is the way that Jesus beholds Simon. This word is also used, just very quickly, in Mark 10:21. This is with Jesus speaking to the rich young ruler. And it says, Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing that you lack, sell whatever you have, and we know that story. The point is that Jesus looked upon and understood who Simon was. And his first words to him were, Simon, son of Jonah, you will be called Peter. So Simon's first exposure to Jesus, his first conversation that's recorded, is the invitation to be known by a new name. Jesus is saying to Simon, I know who you are, and I know who you can become. In Revelation 2:17, it says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes, to him will I give of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. And upon a stone, a new name written, which no one knows but he that receiveth it. And I think it's interesting that Peter, now the word for stone there is different. It actually means a small pebble, and it was used actually in terms of casting a ballot, a vote. And in reprint 51:13, it says, The white stone is symbolic of the sealing of the Holy Spirit by which the Lord identifies the overcomers. And I think Jesus was showing us that through the life of Simon, we could see the drawing and the maturing and the experiences of the true church. The second recorded interchange between Jesus and Simon. Now, this is approximately 6 months to a year after Jesus' baptism. So a lot of time goes by, and oftentimes I don't know that we think about that. You've got at least 6 months, 6 months to a year going by, and now in Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 22, we'll skip a few of the verses in the interest of time. It says, Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. We skip down a few verses to 17. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting their net into the sea. For they were fishermen. And he said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. So this is the second interchange of Jesus with Simon. Now he's talking to Simon and his brother Andrew together when he invites them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus' message to Simon here, perhaps, is built on the first message, I know you, follow me, and built upon the promise of a new name, I will also show you a new vocation. I will show you a new way to spend your life. Now, this calling, building upon the vocation that someone had toward a spiritual end, was nothing new. In Psalms 78, verses 70 through 72, it says, He chose David, also his servant, and took from him the sheepfolds. For from following the ewes and having their young, he brought him to be shepherd of Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he was their shepherd according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. No doubt Jesus understood that because it was written in the Psalms, it was an easy way for him to identify with what Simon specifically for our lesson today, and Andrew were doing, and James and John as well. He understood that. I will show them how to do what they're doing in a much grander way. So Jesus is inviting Simon to follow, and he does, but not permanently. He does for a period of time. While Simon is in the company of Jesus, they leave their vocation behind and they follow. They learn a lot and they observe a lot. Jesus shows them miracles of healing. He shows them how he casts out demons. And he shows them how he operates. He shows them how his communion with his Heavenly Father is the most important thing. He's demonstrating to them what their new vocation will look like. In Mark 1:38 and 39 says, He answered, Let us go down to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do. And he went through Galilee proclaiming this message in their synagogues. He said, Let us go. This is what we're going to do. And this is what I came to do. I'm proclaiming this message. He was explaining their vocation. He was helping them understand the cost of what it was they were called to. And we won't take the time to read it, but in Luke 14, 28 to 35, Jesus gives a parable about counting the cost. And we're reminded that in the effort of counting the cost, we need to realize what it is that we're getting involved in and understand the cost that it will take and be willing to pay it full and in advance. And that's what Jesus was doing for Simon. Simon was not yet Peter. Simon was just a baby in many ways, learning about Jesus and following after him. And in fact, Simon at some point did not follow Jesus continually. So now we jump ahead a little bit further. And in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, we have the third calling of Simon. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, the crowd was pressing on him to hear the word of God. He saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out from them and they were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it a little way out from the shore. And he sat down and he taught the crowds from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night and caught nothing. Yet," Brother Jerry touched on this, "if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. So also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him, this time for good. Now, Jesus' message to Simon here in this third interchange, again, built upon the first two: "Simon, I know you. I know you're willing to follow. You've already shown me that. You've seen many miraculous events occur, from the healing of the sick to the casting out of demonic influence. And now, as you follow me, your own sin seems so overwhelming and unconquerable. But I say to you, as you follow me and trust me, you can now do it without fear. For my strength, with my strength, you will become fearless fishers of men." Now see, here Simon has come to a personal crossroad. He has decided to become Peter. Though not yet, because that's a long, long process. It's a transformation that will take time. And it's interesting, the things that he decides here, see if these things sound somewhat familiar. He recognizes and proclaims that he is a sinner. He recognizes and proclaims Jesus' lordship over that sin. And he leaves all to become a fisher of men. Simon has decided to become Peter. We don't have time to go into in detail some of the Simon becoming Peter examples that we would have liked to. Again, we thank Brother Jerry because he covered some of them for us. And these were things that we actually literally deleted out of the notes because there was just not going to be time. So the Lord overrules these things. I do want to touch on two events, though, that I think are very, very important in understanding the process of becoming Peter. And these events are very, very familiar to us in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Now, when Jesus came into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" And who answers? Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." No quivering, no quaking, no questioning. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, For flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And also I say unto you, thou art Peter. Notice, not you will become Peter, thou art Peter. And upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's interesting that he says, here's your new name. But Simon is not yet Peter, really. He is now embarking on the journey to become Peter. Simon understands that he is in the presence of the Son of the living God. Simon understands that this is the long prophesied Messiah. And Simon understands that he wants to be a part of him. The amazing thing to me is what happens right after that. I mean, here you are. If you're Simon and you answered the question, if you're thinking in a fleshly sense, you might start to pat yourself on the back and say, yeah, I got that answer pretty right. And see, and Jesus said, the Lord has blessed me. Let's read what happens right after this. Matthew 16:21-28. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that they must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and the third day be raised up. And what is his reaction? And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. This is the next recorded event in Matthew, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall never be unto thee. But Jesus turned and said unto Simon, it says Peter, but I'm putting the word Simon in there, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art a stumbling block to me, for your mind is not on things of God, but on things of men. So, in one breath, Simon is saying, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it seems like, almost in the very next breath, he's saying, oh, no, these things aren't going to happen to you. And Jesus has to rebuke him. Simon is not yet Peter. What does Jesus do after this tremendous rebuke? Let's read it. Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And he goes on and on. But the amazing thing to me is that there's a tremendous rebuke. Get thee behind me, Satan. But Jesus isn't angry at Simon. He's showing him how to be spiritual and not carnal. And then he takes the moment right afterwards and teaches him how to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus. Simon is learning to become Peter. We're going to jump ahead, and we're going to look at Peter's denial of Jesus. And Brother Jerry treated that. I understand Brother OB might be treating that as well. Is that the part you were dealing with? A little bit. You're going to hear a lot about that. And I think, you know what? I think that because that is on the menu, so to speak, there's something we need to listen to, each and every one of us. There's something there that needs to be paid attention to. So again, let's turn to Luke chapter 22. We're going to read verses 54 and 55. Brother Jerry set the groundwork for us. And they seized him and led him away and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the court and had sat down together, Peter sat in the midst of them. So he's waiting. And Brother Jerry pointed out the boldness that it would have taken for Peter after just previously attacking the high priest's servant to be where he was. But he couldn't be away. So here he is. Jesus originally recognized Simon in that first interchange that they had through the power and grace of the Holy Spirit. He recognized him. It was the light of the Spirit of God upon him that helped him understand who Simon was and how he could become Peter. Well, here in Luke 22, verse 56 and 57, it says, and a certain maid, seeing him as he sat in the light of the fire, looked steadfastly upon him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied, saying, woman, I know him not. Remember what Jesus' first message to Simon was? I know you, and I know who you can become. Simon's first denial, I know him not. It is directly against to the way Jesus drew him. The second denial. Remember, just as Jesus, a few months after he was introduced to Simon, he later invited Simon to be a part of him, to change his vocation. Jesus' second message to him was, I know you, follow me, and built upon that promise of a new name, I will show you a new vocation. Well, in Luke chapter 22, verse 58, it says, and after a little while, a little bit of time passed, another saw him and said, thou also art one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Jesus was drawing him to a new way of living, to a new life, to a new level of thinking. Simon is now put on the spot, and the pressure of the moment says, I'm not one of them. The third denial. Remember when Jesus originally was drawing Simon? He clearly stated to Simon what his new life would be like. Jesus' message to Simon, if you remember, was, I know you. You're willing to follow. You've seen many miraculous events occur, from the healing of the sick to the casting out of demonic influences. And now as you follow me, even though your own sins seem overwhelming and unconquerable, I am telling you here and now that if you follow and trust in me, you can do it all without fear. For with my strength, you will become fearless fishers of men. That was Jesus' message on that drawing that made Peter put his things away and follow after Jesus. And in this third denial, Luke 22, verses 59 and 60. Again, a little more time had gone by. And after the space of about 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this man was also with him, for he is also a Galilean. But Peter, Simon, said, man, I know not what you sayest. And in one of the other Gospels, it talks about him denying him with an oath. He's saying, I don't even know what you're talking about. Jesus had drawn him to such a high calling. And in this moment of incredible weakness, Simon denied all of it. Every stage of his being drawn to Jesus, Simon put aside. This was not his intention. This was merely Simon, not yet, being Peter. In Luke 22:61, it reads, and the Lord turned, and he looked upon Peter. Remember when Jesus first beheld Peter? We said that word is important. Same word. Jesus turned and he beheld Simon. So it wasn't a glance. It was an all-knowing stare. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, you will deny me thrice. Jesus beheld him yet again. And 62 to 65 it says, and he went out and he wept bitterly. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and beat him, and they blindfolded him, and they asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is he that struck thee?" And many other things spake they against him, reviling him, and Simon could not be there to hold him up, to encourage him, because he had fallen so deeply into his own flesh and blood that he was weeping bitterly over what he had done. This is the last time Simon sees Jesus before he's crucified. This is it. This ends the first part of Simon's life. And fortunately, by the grace of God, there's a second part. And we want to spend some time looking at that. Because if this is where it ends, and brethren, how often do we, and Brother Jerry gave some wonderful examples, practical examples of our own ability to fall into our own flesh, to our own thinking, into our own ways, and get so sidetracked that we miss the main point. Simon needed to grow into Peter. In John 21, and Brother Jerry brought us here also before, verses 1 through 19. We'll not take a lot of time on the first portion. We already heard the story of how they said they're going fishing. And they all essentially began to renew their partnership because too much time had gone by and they didn't know what else to do. And yet, the moment that it became clear that Jesus was the man on the shore, the moment it became clear, what was Simon's reaction? He jumped into the water and he swam to the shore. He didn't care about anything else. Because, brethren, that's where his heart truly was. Now, if you look at the examples of his activities earlier, you might call that into question, because we, unfortunately, can look only from the outside in. But see, from the heart of Simon, you could see that he wanted more than anything to be with his Lord. It's interesting. We'll read the section in verse 8 through 14. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for the net were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. And now, remember what happened. Might want to mention this detail. Caught nothing all night. Cast your net again on the right side, and what happens? An amazing catch of fish. And that's what triggers the thought. This is the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Now, why is it that the net tore in the first time, but it didn't tear this time? I don't know. Here's a thought, though. And actually, this thought struck me as Brother Jerry was speaking. Perhaps that first time, Jesus was calling the potential. And the work that they were being called to do was greater than they were able to exhibit. Now, Jesus was drawing to him those who had, through difficult, fiery trials, come to a point where their potential was being fulfilled and perhaps more capable of dealing with the work. Just a thought. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, and he calls him Simon, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Brother Jerry examined that for us well, so we need not to go into that. And he said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." The question was, do you love me more than these? The word for love there, we all know, is the word for agape love. That is the word for love that is the highest form of love. It's the kind of love that has no self-interest. It is purely focused on those which we love. Simon's answer is, "Lord, of course I love you." But he didn't use the same word. The word here is for filial love. I want to read just three lines from reprint 2807. And Brother Jerry, I think, was partially quoting from this reprint as well. He said, Peter thus states his personal attachment and devotion to the Lord, but refrains from claiming the highest love for which our Lord inquired. This humility was an excellent sign, showing Peter had learned a needed lesson and had ceased to boast, but rather to fear his own weakness. Simon is becoming Peter. His initial reaction to such a straight... What do you think that reaction would have been a month before? 2 months before? Oh, Lord, we know because he was presented with such questions. Lord, I will be the one to die with you. Not this time. He understood how far he had to go. And the humility, the difficulty produced humility, not discouragement. So Jesus, as a result of this, gives him a mission. Feed my lambs. As Brother Jerry mentioned, those are the young ones, the babies. Feed them. A mission like this could only be given to someone you trust. Only to one who's been given a new name. Because that new name is a symbol of trust. Because remember, the Revelation scripture talked about the Holy Spirit being the seal, being the symbol, being the voice, if you will, of the new creation. So that new name is the symbol that there was inherent trust in Simon Peter. A mission only able to be given to someone worthy of that trust. The second time Jesus says to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Same words. And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. The question, do you agape love me? The answer, yes, Lord, you know that I filio love you. Simon understands. He understands his limitation. The mission, tend my sheep. And that would be the more mature sheep, those who need guidance and direction. This mission can only be given to someone you trust. Someone who has taken on the vocation of tending those sheep. Just like Jesus' second drawing was to a new vocation. This was a confirmation of that. Tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. He prophesies about him and then finishes by saying, follow me. The question, do you agape love me? The answer, Lord, I don't have to tell you because I know you know. You know everything. You know that I filio love you. The mission, if that's the case, you need to feed my sheep. The weak in faith, those who ought to be strong but for whatever reason are not. This is a mission that can be only given to one you trust. And especially this part of the mission, feeding those who ought to be strong but are weak, that mission can only be given to somebody who understands what it means to be weak when you should be strong. Simon Peter understood that. And Jesus was giving him a responsibility to use his own mistakes, to use his own trial, to use his own failure to feed and cultivate others. In Jesus' third drawing of Simon, remember what Simon said to him? Get away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinner. Jesus is drawing on that and saying, I know. And that's why I want you. You have such a potential. Now go to work. Simon does become Peter. And we know of Peter's faithfulness because we look at the record in the Acts of the Apostles. We look at what he wrote. We look at the example of his life and his death. And the prophecies about the honor that the 12 apostles will receive. Simon did become Peter. One thing that seals it for me, though, and we will close with this. Simon himself tells us this. Not quite in so many words. But in 1 Peter 1:22. Now, this is later on in Simon's life, or Peter's life, I should say. I'm sorry. This is later on in Peter's life. He's been begotten by the Spirit. He has done many things to witness to the glorious plan of God, to the setting up of churches, to being an example, and to being in the line of fire. And here's his admonition. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Well, let's examine that for a moment. Unfeigned love. That's Philadelphia love. He's saying, seeing that you have set your minds on obeying the truth and shown it through that brotherly affection, which is good, which incidentally he knew about, he says to them, see that you agape love one another with a pure heart fervently. He could explain to them now, later on, after the begettal of the Spirit, after his life experiences, he could explain to his fellow Christians what agape love was and how important it was for them to issue it, because he could now do it. After Jesus' resurrection, he knew that he had to grow into it. Simon became Peter. He adopted that new name. He lived by his new name. Brethren, we also have the same challenge. It is my prayer for you that you also become Peter.
Thank you, Brother Rick, for that continued look at Peter, a look that continues to fill our understanding of this prominent disciple of Jesus. May God add his blessing to help each of us to move from being Simon to being Peter, becoming Peter. We will be dismissed by Brother Rick, who I'll ask to ask a blessing on our meal also.
Holy Father in heaven, we come before you thankful for this day and for this opportunity to gather together in convention, to stay away from the world for a short time and to focus on your word and to focus on your plan. Father, we ask that we can apply the lessons of the life of dear Apostle Peter, that we can learn from his experiences and apply them to ourselves, and to ourselves become worthy by your grace of attaining a new name. Father, we thank you for the many lessons you've given us through the Holy Scriptures, and pray that we can learn not to take them for granted, but to glorify your name in all that we say, do, and think. We thank you for the temporal provisions now provided. We ask that you strengthen us to do your will. We ask your blessing upon our fellowship, upon this ecclesia that is hosting us today, and upon your people the world over. We pray for the full establishment of your kingdom in Jesus' most holy and precious name.